Thank you, Jill and Jennifer, for our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this third Sunday in the season of Advent. May the joy of this season capture you in our worship service this day. If you're our first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us here at First Baptist. If you would, take a moment, fill out a visitor's card, and drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, we're not surprised you decided to stay in, to stay warm today on this cold day of worship, but it is warm in the sanctuary this day. And for those that are gathered online, we want to welcome you. We encourage you to also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for this hour of worship, but also ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer online today, We're glad that you found us. Welcome to our worship service this morning. I encourage you to send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Because of the cold weather this afternoon and this evening, I pray that everyone will stay in and stay warm. We are going to delay our third session in our adult Bible study, Voices of Advent. Instead, I will be running that session on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Strictly on Facebook Live. So stay in today, stay warm, and enjoy that time together with family and friends today. The youth, they don't care about the weather. They wear shorts in this weather. So we're still going to gather in my house at 6 o'clock tonight for our youth Christmas party. But again, the Facebook Live session will be on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the third session in Voices of Advent. I do want to remind you, looking ahead, that we've got some ministry activities taking place this week. On Tuesday, we'll be going to Golden Years for bingo and birthday, and also Christmas caroling this time. So I encourage you to come out. That is at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Sandy or talk to Kramer that leads this group, and it'll be a wonderful time of gathering and caroling on Tuesday afternoon. Now, Wednesday, we are trying to go to that Fruitcake Factory at Southern Supreme. Every time we schedule it, it gets too cold. There's winter weather. So Wednesday, if it snows, it's all Gay's fault. That's all I'm just going to say, because she said, we're going to do it. We're going to go on Wednesday. So if it snows on Wednesday, it's her fault. That's all it is. But again, if you want to go to Southern Supreme, talk to Gay. 9 a.m. is what time that group is leaving on Wednesday to go enjoy that trip together. I do want to also remind you that next Sunday and for our Christmas Eve worship service, we are going to be collecting canned food and non-perishable items during this Sunday and that other worship time together. We are expanding our food pantry here at First Baptist. And we look forward to moving to a larger space upstairs. But we also are going to have extra space, so we need more things. There will be a list coming out in email this week, also in your bulletin as well, of the things that we place in our boxes. And we're going to be expanding that a little bit as well. But I encourage you, if you have the opportunity to pick up some items this week, bring it next Sunday. There'll be a bin in the foyer this coming Sunday for you to drop off items there. If you want to just leave them upstairs, you can leave them in the fellowship hall as well. But thank you in advance for your generosity today. Now may we lift praise to our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the giver of eternal joy.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me this morning? Gracious and loving God, on this third Sunday of Advent, we come before you with hearts open to the gift of joy that you bring. As we light the candle of joy this morning, we remember that true gladness is found in your presence and in the promise of our Savior's coming. Fill our spirits with the light of Christ so that even in seasons of waiting, we may rejoice in your faithfulness. Let our worship today be a song of gratitude, our prayers a fragrance of hope, and our lives a reflection of your love. May the joy of the Lord be our strength, lifting our eyes above our worries and drawing us closer to you. We welcome you into this place, O God, and into our hearts anew this day. In the name of Jesus, our joy and Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is Angels from the Realms of Glory. We'll sing the first and last stanza. Let's stand and worship together.
Today we light the joy candle. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds hear the angel's proclamation and indeed are filled with both awe and joy. They are mere shepherds, considered by some as the lowest of the low. But the angel comes to them, no one else but to them, and gives them the news of a momentous event, the birth of the Messiah. Filled with joy, they careen down the hills into the town, find the stable and manger, and kneel before the Christ of God. Joy is an emotion of exaltation that comes from a new realization, an event of blessing, a state of blessingness. And surely the shepherds feel that. But as the years progress and they tell the story to their children's children, the sense of wonder and joy remains. An angel has spoken to them. The angel spoke of a physical birth, but there is also a spiritual dimension, the joy that breaks upon us when we finally grasp that Jesus loves us in spite of ourselves, forgives all of our sins and past failings, and takes up residence in our lives. Then the initial joy melds into an enduring joy of companionship with the Lord. Father, thank you for the joy the angels experienced, the joy of Jesus' birth, and the joy of the new birth that we can experience day by day until we see you in glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn is Joy to the World, and we'll sing the first and second stanza. Let's stand and sing Joy to the World.
on this third Sunday of Advent, we can rejoice that we have missionaries around the world that spread the love of Christ daily. The CVF offering for global missions, which our church and many fellow Cooperative Baptist churches collect throughout the year, but specifically during this season of Advent, goes to support CVF missionaries around the world like Carson and Laura Fushi in Japan. And speaking of Carson and Laura, let's take a quick moment to watch one of the CVF videos for this season.
Day Mireya attended our worship service. She is always smiling. She's a very hands-on person. The different times that we've been able to ask her, hey Mireya, we would like to include you in this project or activity. Would you be willing to help? She almost always says yes. She has been such a bright presence to our group.
I was very nervous when I first went to church. They welcomed me from the day I first went to the KRBC, and when I decided to become a Christian, they celebrated me and gave lots of advice. I cannot believe that I keep going to the church because I am also busy studying medicine in Canada. My dad is also an ophthalmologist, and I'm in my third year.
Mireya is just a sponge. She's able to soak up some of these theological concepts that we're learning about in church together that are really difficult for native English speakers to learn. She's an incredibly devoted person too. She is a ballerina that continues to hone her craft each and every day in her home as she also studies full-time to work in medicine.
There was an earthquake in Noto Peninsula, and there was a charity event. And then I decided to do ballet at that event. Ballet is the kind of way of refreshing myself.
Those interactions were extremely meaningful for her. We're so happy to see the different ways in which she has been able to engage in ministry with us.
I sometimes talk about my future to Carson and Laura. We have dinner together. They became my family in Canada. They show example by their action itself. All of them make me go to the church every week. I've already decided to live with God. I think I truly can promise that.
When we received the information this year about the offering for Global Missions. It brought joy to us to see the videos by Carson and Laura, and that's just one of the many that they're a part of, and there's other testimonies to the work they're continuing to do in Japan. I encourage you to go to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship's website and get to watch some of those videos. If you get the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship magazine that they send out every month, there is a great and incredible write-up of the ministry that they're doing in Japan. Now, as many of you might have seen in the news just a couple weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago, the country of Japan experienced a 7.5 earthquake. There was a tsunami warning that came along with it. And I have actually been in touch with Carson and Laura over the last week and a half during this time. And while the earthquake took place near the northern peninsula of Japan and Kanazawa's towards the south, Carson and Laura just happened to be in Tokyo when it happened, which is further north. And Carson shared with me that they felt the hotel that they were staying in, they felt it shake when the earthquake took place. But he did ask for prayers in the coming weeks because they have been given a warning that there's the possibility of an aftershock mega earthquake that could take place because of the shifts there in Japan. I do know that they actually experienced a 6.7 earthquake just 2 days ago. So be in prayer for Japan, be in prayer for the people there, be in prayer for Carson and Laura as they continue to minister to those in Japan. And we lift up all the missionaries across the world, our Cooperative Baptist Fellowship missionaries, other missionaries that continue to share the love of Christ. Our offering that we collect today does not go specifically to Carson and Laura. However, it goes to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and it goes to support Carson, Laura, and many other missionaries that are around the world. Our goal this year is to raise $2,000 for the offering for Global Missions. This is higher than it was last year, but last year we well exceeded our goal. So I encourage you, if you do not have an opportunity to donate today towards the offering for Global Missions, pray about it. See if this is something that God's calling you to do. I hope He is, and you can bring those offerings by the church office anytime, or you can drop it off in the offering plate even next Sunday. But again, our goal during this season is to collect $2,000 here to support missionaries around the world. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Brian Carroll for an offertory prayer and a prayer for the offering for Global Missions.
And before I do that, sorry, I was kind of moved by the prelude this morning. I would say that Jennifer's attitude might have been at best tense heading into that. But it reminds me that worship is not for our comfort. That we are called to use our skills, our abilities. It's a participatory time where we worship together. So when you sit in the pew or you stand and you sing, we're not searching for perfection. God doesn't expect perfection of us. He knows us. But what He does want us to do is to worship Him. And I'm appreciative of people that will use their skills every week to lead in that worship. But it's a reminder to all of us that we are all leading in worship when we come into this sanctuary. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray today that as we continue to celebrate the season of Advent, that You remind us that it's not just at this time of year that we should worship and adore Christ, that our adoration and our worship should be a lifelong, full-time job for us. We pray that as we've given gifts today and we give them on the way out and we continue to give them, that You would use them to further Your kingdom. We pray specifically today for the CBF offering for Global Missions. And we pray that we would be reminded that our faith is not meant to be transactional. It's not something we show up for on Sunday. It's meant to be transformative. It's meant to be something that spurs us to action, both in giving and in prayer and in any other way You call us to be at work in the world. We pray for the funds that are given, that they would spread the good news across this world, and that we would not stop just with our gifts. that we would continue to pray for people who do that work and search for ways to be at work ourselves in that very act. Bless us as we go through the rest of this service. Help the service to spur us to action and help our actions to bring people closer to you. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
In Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh. Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. As many of you have heard this past week and have seen on the news, our state, our nation experienced a rough week when it comes to violence again in our nation. A young man at North Forsyth High School passed away a senseless death. And then, as many of you have seen, the shooting that took place at Brown University yesterday, which is over 70 school shootings in our country in this year alone. How individuals choose to handle the emotions that are swelling up or welling up inside of them is something that we all need to be concerned about. Those same emotions, and it's scary, those same emotions run through each and every one of us. We need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of how we speak, how we act out of those emotions. And we need to be very careful about pointing fingers during times like this, because that's what will happen. Fingers will be pointed. But the truth is that God has blessed us with every single emotion that we have. And God is in control. And when we experience a week like we experience like this, and we want to point fingers, we need to be pointing at ourselves. We need to be pointing at ourselves and saying, what are we doing about it? What are we doing in this season of joy, of peace, of hope, of love? How are we living that out? Are we living it out with the words that we speak? Are we living it out in the actions that we take? And be very wary of anybody who points fingers. I was taught as a young boy, when you point fingers at somebody, there's three or four pointing back at yourself. Anybody who wants to point fingers in this situation needs to look within themselves. I hadn't prepared to say that this morning, but I think we need to be very keenly aware this season. Pray with me. Gracious God, in this season of joy, we confess how easily we can lose sight of you. We sing of peace, yet we cling to worry. We speak of hope, yet we give in to fear. We proclaim love, yet we withhold it from those who need it most. Forgive us, Lord. Turn our hearts towards your light, that we may rejoice not in fleeting pleasures, but in the deep gladness that comes from your presence. Prepare us to welcome Christ with open hands and open hearts, so that our lives may reflect the good news we proclaim. In the name of Jesus, our coming Savior, we pray this day. And all God's people said, amen. Again, I want to say thank you for joining us for worship on this third Sunday of Advent, often called the Sunday of Joy. Now, many have asked through the years why on this Sunday we light a pink candle instead of a purple one. Is it because we ran out of purple candles? No, it's not because we ran out of purple candles. Because in the season of Advent, the third Sunday, this candle and this Sunday is known as Gaudete Sunday. And it signifies a shift in the season of Advent. Prior to this, these previous two Sundays, Sundays of Hope and Sundays of Peace, all point to this idea of repentance And now we transition in the season of Advent with joy and love leading to Christmas Eve and Christmas. And that's a transition to celebration. And what better way, what better way to transition to celebration than with joy? This morning I'll be continuing the sermon series I began 2 weeks ago, Before Bethlehem. During this series, we're examining the the Gospel of John's opening prologue and understanding that Jesus' beginning did not start in Bethlehem. Now, today, we look at the fact that Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning at the point of creation, and today we look at Him as Christ, the true light. Raise your hand here if you have Christmas lights hanging in your yard, on your house, at some place in your house in decoration for Christmas, that you have lights somewhere. Almost completely universal. That was kind of what I was expecting. Anyone here go all out? And what I mean by that is you hang lights on every possible inch of every possible piece of property that you own. You're a Clark Griswold type individual. 25,000 plus lights. Anybody? Anybody here? Of course, if you don't know the story of Clark Griswold and Christmas Vacation, he was determined to win his Christmas neighborhood's light luminary competition, and he did so not without any accidents that did come along with it. I used to hang more lights on my house when I was younger, but then I realized what goes up must come down. And that quickly prevented me from doing it anymore. This season of the year is filled with lights. Our Jewish friends and neighbors begin an 8-day celebration of light, which is called Hanukkah. It actually begins today. And at its core, Hanukkah is a reminder of how God did a miracle by providing enough oil to light lamps within their temple 2,000 years ago during the rebellion of the Maccabees. Now, this act of God, this miracle came after He preserved Israel from extinction by giving the Maccabees victory over a hostile enemy, and it allowed them to rededicate their temple in Jerusalem. But it's all centered around, it's called the season of light, the celebration of light, and that is what Hanukkah is. And just as our Jewish friends celebrate with lights, Christians do as well. Lights and Christmas seem to go together, don't they? I mean, lights and Christmas go together, whether it be the Christmas tree we have in our sanctuary, the candles that are lit on our Advent wreath, those that are lighting up your home. I was leaving a store just the other day, and I saw a vehicle completely covered in lights. It was like netted over it. I was like, wow, that's amazing. It would distract me, but that was amazing. Lights are just a part of this season, and this what pops up here in the opening prologue of John, and that's why the sermon title is Christ, the True Light. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Gospel of John this morning. I told you could just mark that passage because we're going to be returning to it over and over again. We'll be looking at John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9 this morning, picking up where we left off. 2 weeks ago, we were in verses 1 through 3. Now we're in verses 4 through 9. Listen to these words of the apostle. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Because the word in this passage, life is used twice, and light appears 7 times in 6 verses, we can conclude that John is building off the connection that we talked about a couple weeks ago from the book of Genesis, where we saw in the beginning. You see, the opening of Genesis is all about the creation of life, and in verses 3 and 4, we see how light was created first. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Pastor Brian LaBarge made this observation, which I think is pretty significant. He said, we, as we read the scriptures, we actually see the first spoken word of God. Because it literally says, God said, be light, and there was light. We saw the first words. 2 weeks ago, we learned how Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but not his beginning, because he's always been. And so today, what we want to focus on, and the theme of the entire sermon, can be centered in this one statement. Jesus brings life into our deadness and light into our darkness. So the first thing that we see from this passage is this, is that life brings light. And that's in verse 4. Verse 4 states, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when we read this in English, we just see the L word a lot, and we're thinking, oh, that's really got pretty, it's beautiful, it's poetic. Yes, it is. But John actually, when he wrote it in Greek, chose to use the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E, for life here. And that zoe can be defined as, quote unquote, real life, rather than the other Greek word that could have been used here, which is the word bios. But B-I-O-S is where we got biology from it, which simply speaks of natural life. Now, John uses zoe because he wants to talk about this concept of real life, not just natural life, but real life. John used the word zoe 36 separate times in his gospel account. The second time he uses the zoe word, he uses the definite article the to go in front of it to show that Jesus is this true, real life. This is the idea behind John 11, 25. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Now, when we were born, we received bios. We received physical life. Every single one of us did. We received bios. However, when we are born again, we receive spiritual life. We receive zoe. Both come from him. Both come from our God. But when Jesus gives you this real life, when Jesus gives you this zoe, the light comes on for you. All of a sudden, something is different. We know when a light gets turned on, right? We know when it goes off, and we know when it goes on. When we get this zoe, this new real spiritual life, we know the difference. Matthew 17, 2 says this. Well, it talks about the transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John, when they experienced the transfiguration at the top of the mountain, they got to see a glimpse of this true life, this true light, this zoe light, as we might want to call it. Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Revelation 22, 16 refers to Jesus as the bright morning star. So you see, we all experience bios life, but only those who accept Jesus and experience him as their Savior get to experience that zoe life. That's what we strive for. But we can't forget that Jesus brings life into our deadness and light into our darkness. The second thing that we can point out from this passage in John is that light exposes darkness. Listen to these words. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, the word shines here is in the present tense. It's not shown, it shines, which means it continually shines, and it never stops. You see, spiritual darkness spilled into the world in Genesis chapter 3, and it can only be removed by the Lord, who is life and who is our light. The word overcome means to lay hold of, to seize, or grasp. It was commonly used in the ancient times in the ancient sport of wrestling to describe when a person gets grasped and held on to, and they can't get away. It's like they get pinned. That's what this light and this life does for us. John is saying that it is impossible for darkness to pin light to the mat. It cannot happen. Darkness, by its very nature, refuses to come into the light because darkness and light are mutually exclusive. If you have one, you cannot have the other. Those in darkness cannot readily understand the Lord, who is life and light. Darkness, by definition, isn't even a thing because darkness is really the absence of light. Darkness cannot do anything to light, and you cannot add more darkness to a room. It is either dark or it's not. Without light, darkness simply takes over. In the presence of light, however, darkness flees. The good news is when we lean on the Lord, when we lean on Jesus Christ, He is our light. And we will not remain in darkness, as Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Without Jesus Christ in our lives, we are like a ship that is lost on the open sea in a dense fog, groping for the shore, waiting for someone to dispel the darkness so we can achieve or gain what we're reaching for, and that is the light of salvation. Now, Christ has provided the only light in this darkness of our doomed existence, so we can be rescued from certain destruction. Are you walking in the light today, or are you still fumbling around in the darkness? Let us not forget that Jesus brings life into our darkness, into our deadness, and light into our darkness. The third thing that we can draw from this passage this morning in verses 6 through 8 is that light engages witnesses. Now, it's interesting to read this passage in the Greek because it's almost like there was two passages written and then the author decided to stick something in the middle. Like he decided, oh wait, I meant to say something, and he added it in. And what the Apostle Paul adds in this passage is the introduction of a person that we know as John the Baptist. Now, here is why I think the author started talking about John the Baptist when he's doing this beautiful poetic range of talking about Jesus as the Word and Jesus as the light and what he does in the darkness. And then all of a sudden, John the Baptist. Why did he do that? It's kind of God's way of letting the light of Christ shine through human witnesses. The author wanted to make sure we realize that we have a responsibility. According to Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, I have called us to be witnesses of the light as we interact with those who are still living in darkness. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. John the Baptist was added in here as an example of someone who was pointing to the light. But John the Baptist is not the only one. Take John the Baptist's name out and put your name there. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to point to the light of Christ. Are you living as a witness to the light in your world? Just as John the Baptist, we are called to do so in whatever worldly context we are in, whether it is work, whether it's home, or in our neighborhoods. One way that we can live out daily what Christ has called us to do is to point to Him and to point others towards Him. Let me give you a perfect example. You might be saying to yourself, well, David, I just don't know how to do that. I see the same people every single day. We do the same thing every day. We work the same way. I see my family, and that's all I see. How can I do that? Well, I'm going to give you a perfect example. On Christmas Eve, we have a worship service here at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And you're all, oh, David, you're talking about the busyness of the season. Well, the busyness is in no comparison to worshiping Christ at Christmas. So at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, I promise you I'm going to be standing right here. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? I hope you're going to be sitting right there and right there and right there. And if you're going to be a good John the Baptist witness, what you need to be doing is talking to those family members and those friends who you will all be gathering with on Christmas Eve, the 24th or the 25th, and you need to invite them. Because they need to be sitting right beside you here, right beside you there. And so when I look out, I can see individuals who are pointing at the light. I don't know what to do, David. I don't know how to point to the light. Come to Christmas Eve and bring somebody with you. Put it on your calendar. The fourth thing, before I say that, Jesus brings life into our deadness and light into our darkness. The fourth thing we understand from this passage is this: the light is available to everyone. Verse 9 tells us the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The rabbis use the word light as a name for the Messiah. So when John uses the phrase true light in this passage, he was connecting Jesus to the promised Messiah that was foretold in so many prophets like Isaiah. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." This idea behind walking in darkness is someone stumbling as they come and as they go, searching for something that they can never find. While people are walking in the darkness, suddenly a great light appears and it shines on them to the point where they're blinded initially from it, but all of a sudden everything comes into perspective. We cannot find that light on our own, so the light comes to us. The light, which is Jesus Christ. Matthew 4 applies this Isaiah passage directly to Jesus. He says this: "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." It's interesting to note in Isaiah, the people walked in darkness. But then in Matthew, we see they're dwelling in darkness. You see, the more we spend time in darkness, the more we get used to it. The more we spend time in darkness, the more we are accustomed to it, we're drawn to it, and all of a sudden it doesn't bother us anymore. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. Don't let it become your normal. Because the more you walk in it, eventually you're going to set up shop and you're going to dwell in it. Start by walking in darkness, seeing that light, and following Him. You see, darkness in the Bible is often seen as a symbol of divine judgment. According to Exodus chapter 10, there were 3 days of darkness that could be felt in Egypt before the first Passover lamb was slain. And there was 3 hours of darkness before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died for the sins of the world. Listen to Mark 15:33. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. From noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the sun was supposed to be shining bright, it became pitch black darkness outside. It was as if God the Father placed his hands over the sun and said, 'Son, you shall not shine on my son while he becomes the sin substitute this day.'" Think about it. Think about it for a second. At the birth of Jesus, a supernatural star ascended to light the way of the Magi, and at Jesus' death, a supernatural darkness descended in the middle of the day. His birth announcement was a display of brightness at midnight, and the notification of his death was a deep darkness at midday. One pastor described it this way: "Christ is no simple spark in the darkness. He drives out the darkness. Jesus is not a candle in a cave. He is the sun burning away the gloom and shadows of evil." Are you allowing the light, the one who gives life, to do that in your life this day? Let us remember and not forget, Jesus brings life into our deadness and light into our darkness. In closing this morning, let us not forget that life brings light. Light exposes darkness. Light engages witnesses, and light is available to absolutely everyone. A boatman and a scholar were once traveling on a boat across the lake. During the journey, the scholar asked the boatman, "Do you know philosophy?" The boatman replied, "No." He was then asked, "Do you know psychology?" The boatman replied, "No." "What about geology?" The boatman again replied, "No, I do not." And he said, "Well, I suppose you don't know accounting either." And he said, "No, not at all." "Life must be pretty boring for you then," said the scholar. But just then, as they're sitting in this boat, a storm erupted, and the waves were beating furiously against both sides of the boat. The scholar was afraid. The boatman turned to the scholar and he asked, "Do you know how to swim?" "No," the scholar replied. "Well, that's too bad," the boatman said. "But do you know God?" "No, I don't," said the scholar. The boatman said, "Well, that's even worse." So he said, "You'll have no hope after death." The boatman then brought out a lamp. He lifted it up and he asked, "Do you believe that this can save you? Do you believe that the light that I'm holding in my hand can save you?" And the scholar just simply was in quiet fear. The man began to wave the lamp back and forth, putting his hand to cover it and shining it over and over again. It sent a signal in the darkness to the other surrounding boats that were there that came then to help save the boatman and the scholar. Eventually, they were saved. And you see, the light is what saved them. Jesus saves us. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus brings life into deadness and light into our darkness. And anything else we try to bring in as a substitute for Jesus just falls short and gets lost in the dark. Are you ready to move from deadness to life and from darkness to light? I hope so. I hope you are. And I hope that the light has turned on for you today. But if it hasn't, just know there are a lot of witnesses that are shining that light for you to see and to continue to see. And Jesus Christ is that true light. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful. I am so thankful that I do not walk in darkness anymore. I'm thankful for the life that you have brought me. And Father, because of that new life, I can celebrate. I can rejoice. I can sing with joy and gather with joy with this church family as we celebrate on this Gaudete Sunday. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending the light to bring us life in this world. Amen. As we come to our our closing hymn today, maybe today for the first time you've seen the light, that you know who the light is for your life, that it is Jesus the Christ. I'll be down front. Come embrace me as a brother in Christ and let me share how we can share that light together. Or maybe you're looking for a church family that just seeks to shine bright into a world that needs to see the light of Christ. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. I'll embrace you down front and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe right now you're in the darkness. Maybe you've been in the light and you've drifted back. Or maybe you're in the darkness and still searching. Pray where you are. Come to the altar. It's Christ. It's His altar. It's not mine by any means. One of our deacons will pray with you. I'll pray with you. But whatever struggle you're having, if it's the darkness that's causing it, which most of the time it is, know that the true light is shining today, tomorrow, and the next. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Bye.
as we go out into the world, be the light that the world needs to see. There's a lot of darkness out there, but Jesus Christ is the conquering light. Go in peace.